You know what, I just want to, before we begin, a few perspectives just to clarify some of the points from last time. We saw last time the Isser to daven while you need the bathroom. Now I have to daven while you need the bathroom. So just a few points. Halacha l'maisa. So as we said, if you need the bathroom and you cannot hold out 72 minutes, then it's also to daven. And if you do daven, you're not yoitz. The tefillah doesn't count. If you need the bathroom and you can hold out 72 minutes, then you're not supposed to daven in the first place, but if you did, you're yoitz b'di'eved. Now, there's something I just saw since the last shiur, which just puts a much tougher twist on this. Rabbi Akiva Eiger says that what does 72 minutes mean? It means, usually, in many situations, you feel you have to go, you could probably hold out for 72 minutes. But he says that it means if you were walking for 72 minutes. Could you hold out if you were walking for 72 minutes? Walking is a whole different story. You might be able to go five times as long sitting in one spot than walking. Walking often, you wouldn't be able to make it 15 minutes. Right? So that's one point to take into consideration. But the truth is, again, as far as Shemana Esrei goes, most of this is not relevant, because even if you can hold out, you're not supposed to daven Shemana Esrei. You shouldn't really be getting to a b'di'eved situation. But the big difference is with regard to all other things. We know that the Isser to daven while you need to go to the bathroom applies not just to Shemana Esrei, but to everything else, including Torah learning, benching, making brachas, etc. You're not supposed to do any of these things if you need to go to the bathroom. However, with regard to everything else outside of Shemana Esrei, it's one notch more lenient. Everything else, brachas, benching, learning, even Kriya Shema, etc., everything except Shemana Esrei, if you can hold out for 72 minutes, you're allowed to do it l'chatchila. That's an important thing to know. Whereas with Shemana Esrei, if you have to go to the bathroom at all, you're not supposed to daven. With everything else, except Shemana Esrei, if you can hold out for 72 minutes, then you're allowed to do it l'chatchila. That's one thing to note. I'm sorry? That's with defecation. It could be that with urinating, it's a little bit different, because I don't know how much walking really makes that much of a difference with urinating. But there it is conceivable that a person might feel something of an urge, obviously not so strong, but he can manage for 72 minutes. Well, that's coming up, but yeah, go ahead. You're talking about the bathroom in front of the Ezus Nashim? In the front. No, so there, the bathrooms per se are actually separate little rooms. We have to differentiate between a bathroom where there are open stalls, and then you have a bathroom where you walk in and there's a sink area, and there's a few small booths, each with its own door. Right? So there, that's the bathroom. The outside sink area, even though you might put the restroom sign outside, is not a bathroom for any practical purpose. So, yes, it's okay to go in there. Now, one other point, also, this is Lamaisa. If a person is in middle of Shemana Esrei, or whatever it is, and then he suddenly gets an urge that he didn't feel before, you're allowed to finish, regardless, whatever the case is. You're allowed to finish, even if you really suddenly feel a strong urge. Now, this is something that can be relevant. I remember I once had such a relevant child. I had a bad stomach virus. Now, I didn't feel anything at the time, but I knew that, you know, I don't go by, you know, half hour without an urge. The question is, what if I know that within a half hour, you know, I'll have to go? But the answer is no. Now you don't feel an urge, that's fine. You start davening, and then in the middle of Shemana Esrei, you feel an urge, you can finish Shemana Esrei. That's fine. However, we just have to note one thing. This is important to note. If you're in the middle of something and you get an urge, yes, you can finish what you're in the middle of, but not start a new thing. Now, this is important. Why? Because let's say, for example, a person is in the middle of Psukei Dezimra. Okay? He gets an urge. Psukei Dezimra ends with Yishtabach. So you have to go to the bathroom before starting the Brach Birchas Kriya Shema. You can finish Psukei Dezimra if you got an urge in the middle of Psukei Dezimra, but you won't be allowed to respond to Baruch Hu. Go to the bathroom before Baruch Hu. Or, let's say you got an urge in the middle of the Brach Birchas of Kriya Shema. Here we say all the Brachas of Kriya Shema, are considered one unit. A person got an urge sometime in the middle of the Brachas of Kriya Shema. Also, you can finish what you're in the middle of, but you won't be allowed to start Shema Esrei. You can finish Shema, yeah, but you won't be allowed to start Shema Esrei. Oh, so what do you do in such a situation? So, essentially, you might say, all right, so say to Gaal Yisrael and then go to the bathroom. But the Mishnah Berurah says, no. Go to the bathroom before that. Go to the bathroom, let's say, in the middle of the Yatziv, because you're supposed to say Geula and then Tefillah immediately afterwards. So therefore, go to the bathroom at some point beforehand. Okay. Now, if a person gets a bad urge to go to the bathroom,
a very strong urge,
then a person should go. Shouldn't wait till he's finished, unless it's the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. If it's the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, wait till you're finished if you can. But with other things, if you really get a stronger urge, a person should go nevertheless.
Why isn't it until April?
In the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, you really have to go. That's the din. If you started Beheter, it's okay. Meaning, if when you started, you didn't have to go, and the need came up in the middle, it's okay. It's all the Rabban. The Chachamim are allowed to set it up as they see fit. Okay.
No. So
you can finish Psukei Dezimra, but you won't be able to start the next segment of davening. You can always finish what you're in the middle of, but you can't start the next segment of davening until you go. That's the way it works. Okay, now we're going to move on to the next sukkah. So, Tanur Rabbanan, in the wide line, Chav Gimel Amud Aleph, in the wide lines, about 40% down, last word on the line is Tanu. Okay? Look for the last word on the line, Tanu, as in Tanur Rabbanan. A bit less than halfway down, about 40% down. Chav Gimel Amud Aleph. If you want numbers, we'll talk in terms of. Got it? Right? 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 17 lines down. Okay. So before we begin this, I just want to throw out a question. We've already learned that to daven in the presence of excrement, to daven, say psukim, anything else, is an isur d'oraisa. It's an isur d'oraisa of v'hoya machanecha kodesh, your camp, meaning the camp where there's kedusha going on must be sanctified and clean. It's an isur d'oraisa. Now, so what would you say is worse? To say divrei kedusha in the presence of excrement, or to have tefillin in the presence of excrement? Let's say to wear tefillin, or to have tefillin exposed to it. Yeah, or saying a pasuk. Which would you say is worse? So what's that? So many of us would guess tefillin. Many of us would guess tefillin, but you know why we guess tefillin? Because we don't appreciate our own importance. The truth is, and I also guessed tefillin, but the truth is that actually, as we're going to see soon, momentarily, no, it's not so. That's why I asked the question, because I was surprised by the answer. But no, it's not so. To have tefillin, to even be wearing tefillin in a bathroom with excrement all around, is not an Issa D'Oraisa, it's an Issa D'Rabbanan, as we'll see soon. To say a pasuk, a human being expressing Torah, is an Issa D'Oraisa. You see that the Kedusha that you generate is of a higher level than the Kedusha of Tefillin. Something to note. That's right. That's said with regard to that. Voya machanecha kodesh, it says about that. You have to cover up any excrement. Your camp, meaning the camp in which you engage in Kedusha, must be holy. And that's what's very much going to manifest in the coming sugya. However, I don't think I'm surprising anybody if I say that the general rule is that you should not bring tefillin into a bedroom, right? Nobody's shocked if I say that, right? That's the rule. That's dirabanan, but it's certainly an ironclad rule, a very fundamental rule. But here, this sugya, we're going to be beginning with the exceptions to the rule. Oh, we'll see. We're going to be working it out. Let's see. Tanu Rabbanan. It says in the Braisa, Hanichnas lebeis hakisa. If a person is entering a bathroom, choyleitz tfilov berichuk dalid ames, he must take his tefillin off 4 ames away. Venichnas. And then he enters the bathroom. I'm sorry? Right. Here it doesn't mention about the talis. The din is lemaisa that a talis that's used only for davening, or anything that's used only for davening, should not be brought into a bathroom either, but it's not as the same level of severity. Meaning, talis is not because it's a talis per se, it's because it's a davening-oriented article. Same applies, let's say, for example, for a kittel. Right? A kittel that you only wear for davening, you don't wear it at other times, is the same as a talis in this sense. There's no inherent thing that you can't go in with a talis. That's why, for example, we all go in with our talis katan, right? We all go in with our tzitzis. Tzitzis is really the same level of kedusha of a talis. Just that there's a din, that's something that's tefillah oriented, we don't bring into a bathroom. But as far as the essential din goes, a talis can go into the bathroom, a tefillin cannot. No, it is a halacha. It is a halacha, but it's not the same level of severity as these halachas. So now, you have to take your tefillin off, 4 amas away, v'nichnas, and you're going. Omer av ache bar avhune, omer av sheshes. Loi shono ala beis hakisei kavua. That's only if it's already an established bathroom. What were bathrooms in those days? It was a spot in the field. That's what a bathroom was. So what's an established bathroom? It means a place. What's that?
An outhouse.
Well, even less than an outhouse. It was a spot in the field. There was no house there. It was just out. Out without the house. A spot in the field.
And like particular spots?
Not necessarily, as we'll be seeing now. So sometimes you had a spot where that's where people went. Sometimes person had to be creative and go up with a new spot. So let's see. So Rav Shesha says this din that you have to take its filling off 4 amas away is only if it's already an established outhouse, meaning people have already defecated there. But if it's a temporary outhouse, really what this means is, for all practical purposes, this means if nobody has ever defecated there yet, you are going now for the first time. You just take your tefillin off and you can defecate on the spot. Now, one thing that I haven't actually brought out, but the truth is, all the Gemara said, let's note this, all the Gemara said was, you have to take it all 4 amas away, but it didn't say you have to leave it there. As we'll see soon, you take it all 4 amas away and you carry it in with you. We'll see. The Gemara is introducing the subject by discussing the exception to the rule. But in those days, that was the rule. You had to take your tefillin off outside the bathroom, and you carried them in. As we'll see soon. Now, ukshu yaitse. So again, if it's already an established outhouse, so you have to take your tefillin off 4 amas before. 4 amas away, and then you go in. If it's a new spot, you take it off on the spot. Right, that's what's coming up, we'll see. Ukshuyaitse marchika arba amis. Then when you go out after you've defecated, you go 4 amis away. Umeinicha. And then you put your tefillin back on. Now you can't put them on right back on the spot. Mipnei sha'asoi beisakisei kavua. Because you have now turned it into an established outhouse. So in other words, the only din that we're seeing here is not, we're not saying here that you cannot bring tefillin into the bathroom. On the contrary, as we're going to see soon, the Gemara will make it very clear, this person is bringing his tefillin into the bathroom. All we're seeing here is that you do not wear tefillin into the bathroom. Now, I just want to put this Gemara into perspective already in the first place, so that we should understand. Often the Gemara does this. It comes in from the back door. It starts discussing the exception to the rule, and then you're supposed to infer the general rule from the exception to the rule. Certainly the general rule is that you shouldn't be bringing tefillin into the bathroom. However, in earlier times, where was the bathroom again? The bathroom was in the field. Where are you going to put your tefillin? Where are you going to put your tefillin? We're going to see soon. That was a problem. There was nowhere safe to put it. And therefore the Chachamim said, carry him in. So certainly this is a kula, this is an exception to the rule. And yes, the general rule is that if you're going to the bathroom in your house, don't bring them in with you. But if you're going to the bathroom in the field, you bring them in, just don't wear them in. That's interesting. That's where it might be relevant. We'll see. What's that?
This whole thing is discussing tefillin without a covering. There are two covers.
Right. Once it's covered with two covers that are not its regular cover. Right. We're going to see all the details as we go along. Right. Okay. Now, ibayiluhu. Now the Gemara asks. Now this also is going to be surprising. May a person enter an established outhouse with tefillin on, lehashtin mayim, if he just needs to urinate. Meaning, there's an inference here. You're allowed to urinate with tefillin on. That's also a surprise. You're allowed to urinate with tefillin on. Just the problem is that you're urinating in a bathroom. Right? It wasn't always the case. Again, when a person was going in the field, he might just get some quiet corner and urinate there. In such a case, it's actually permitted to urinate with tefillin on. But the question here is, if I am entering a bathroom, just I'm not going to defecate. Can I wear my tefillin into the bathroom if I'm only going to urinate? This is very surprising. We're getting some whole new twists on the whole concept here.
Is there a spot that everyone knew that was the spot you went?
Yeah, yeah. And you could tell. What's that? Meaning, yeah, people had gone there. That's what we mean by a base kisei kavua. And established
one once before you.
Yeah, but the stuff is there. That's really the point. That is what makes a base kisei kavua. An established outhouse means that, you know, it's been designated for this use and it's used for that regularly. So the Gemara is asking, can you enter? Again, you can't wear tefillin when you're going into an outhouse to defecate. But can I go into an outhouse if I'm just going in to urinate, can I wear tefillin? Ravina Shari, Ravina permitted it. Rav Ada bar Masne Osa. Rav Ada bar Masne prohibited it. Now, Osu Shailua le Rava, they came and asked Rava, Omar Luhu, and he answered Osu. It's Asa, Shema Yifne Bohem, because once he's in the outhouse, he might decide to defecate. The Amrila and others say, Shema Yofiach Bohem, he might pass winds. So defecating and passing winds with tefillin is absolutely Asa. Urinating is not. And therefore,
getting an outhouse wind or passing wind on its own?
Also passing wind on its own is Asa.
Right.
What's that?
But
urinating in and of itself with tefillin is permitted.
So it would be permitted cooling on that it's just urinating the first time in place, like in a bush with other.
So essentially, yes, lemaisa were machmir for this concern that it's common that when a person is urinating, he would pass winds. But essentially, it's actually mutter to urinate in tefillin. Just the problem that we're seeing here is the reason not to is not to do it in an established bathhouse. Now, here also the place can say that basically, let's keep in perspective that people were wearing tefillin all day long. And that's how it worked in earlier times. People were wearing tefillin all day long, and therefore, basically, the way Magen Avraham puts it is that urinating is a regular part of life. It's not like defecating. It's actually interesting. You see in other Gemaras that defecating was not just something that came up haphazardly. They planned it, meaning they worked out that it should be at the right times of the day. They managed to manipulate it. Generally, a person was able to get through the day without defecating. They had ways of getting themselves to go in the morning and go in the evening. They didn't generally have to go throughout the rest of the day. So it's not mamish, a regular part of life. But urinating, which is a regular part of life, is more lenient with tefillin on. So violating the sanctity is much more severe when it's actually on you. When it's being held in hand, that's a whole different story. The point is that when you're wearing tefillin, the problem is not so much the tefillin as much as yourself. When you're wearing tefillin, your body has to be in a pure state. Now, pure is relative, right? We're seeing here that urinating doesn't necessarily conflict with pure. But the answer to your question is, how come holding it in your hand is not a problem? Or wearing it on your head, the answer is, the problem is that you, while you're wearing tefillin, should not be doing these things. Right? Like, for example, we say, it's even also to be frivolous with tefillin on. That's not also to be frivolous when there's tefillin right next to you, but it's also to be frivolous with tefillin on. That desecrates the sanctity of the tefillin. So the same thing with defecating, or even with just passing gas. Defecating or passing gas while you're wearing tefillin is called defecating. It's called desecrating the sanctity of the tefillin. Not because the tefillin are nearby, but because the person who's wearing tefillin should be in a higher place. What's that? Kalos Roish. Yeah, light-headed, yeah. Yeah. Okay. So we're going to discuss that as we go along. Now, the mice of the place can say, we're going to actually get to the sugis that we'll address it more closely. There is discussion as to whether our bathrooms are considered bathrooms or not, meaning from the halachic perspectives. Lemaisa, the general consensus of the poiskim is to lean towards stringency, that our bathrooms are considered bathrooms, because basically, see, there's a couple of questions involved. What is a bathroom? So if you're talking about in the most, you know, coarse form, the outhouse of earlier times was a place where there was mamish excrement piled up on the floor, right? But we're going to see that it's not so simple. Any area that's been designated to be used as a bathroom already gets the din of a bathroom. And you're not allowed to do divrei kedusha there. Or for our purpose, you wouldn't be allowed to wear tefillin in there. Just the question with our bathrooms is, they're definitely designated as bathrooms, right? But the question is, we're going to see later that there was a type of bathroom, it was a type of outhouse in earlier times that was dug such, this was, you know, early day irrigation, plumbing. It was dug so that it went straight down into the ground and was kind of on a slant underground, such that when a person went to the bathroom, it immediately rolled down in a way. So, and that, the Gemara says, is not called a bathroom. So, we would think that our bathrooms are even better than that. So that's basically the question, just that the place can say that not exactly. There's a difference between our bathrooms and such a bathroom. In such a bathroom, it didn't stay at all. The person went to the bathroom and immediately rolled down. In our bathrooms, first it sits and then you flush it. That does it in. Meaning that makes it worse than what they call the Persian bathrooms. Because first it does sit there before it actually goes down. We're going to see. There's a lot of complex discussion about these things. But the bottom line, practically speaking, is that the consensus of the poskim is to consider our bathrooms, although in certain circumstances there is room for leniency in different ways, as we'll discuss as we go along. Okay. So lemaisa, we're concluding that no, you should not wear your tefillin into an outhouse even if you are just going to urinate, because when you're in and out house, you might end up defecating. Fine. Now, Tanya Idach. So now we're going to really come back and address the point that we made before, that as we've been discussing, people actually carried their tefillin into the bathroom with them. And now we're going to see what this is about. So certainly that's not ideal. Certainly Chazal do not want you bringing tefillin into the bathroom. So what should you do with tefillin ideally? And now we're going to see what the problem was that prompted Chazal to say, you know, just carry it in with you. Tanya Idach. We have a braisa that says, another braisa that says, Hanichnas lebeis hakisei kavua. When a person goes into an established outhouse, choleitz tfilov berichuk dalit amas, he should take his tefillin off 4 amas away. Umenichon b'chaloin asamoch lirshus harabim. What were these outhouses? They were fields. It was a fence. People went behind the fence. That was basically what you did, right? When there was a fence, people stepped behind the fence. So, therefore, take your tefillin off 4 amas away, and you put it in a hole in the fence, a window, facing the outside. And you don't put it on the side of the bathroom, put it on the outside. V'nichnas. And then you go in. Ukshu yaitze. And then when you come out, marchik dalid ames u'menichan. You go 4 amas away and you put them back on. Divrei Beis Shammai. That's the opinion of Beis Shammai. So Beis Shammai say, do not bring it into the bathroom. Put it in a hole in the wall facing the outside. Again, the bathroom really just means the other side of the fence, the field. Beis Hillel say, oichzam biyadoi v'nichnas. No, you hold it in your hand and you go in. Soon we'll see why. Rabbi Akiva Omer, oichzam bevigdoi v'nichnas. You put them in your clothing and you go in. So the Gemara says, bevigdoi sakadaita, but you just put it in your clothing. Zimnin mishtole lehu v'nafli. You might forget it might fall. Ela Omer, rather, it means hold it in your hand, in your garment. Meaning don't just hold it open, exposed in your hand when you go into the bathroom. Wrap it in your garment and hold it like that. V'nichnas. And then you go in. U'menichon b'chorim asmuchim l'beis hakise. And Akiva says, you put it in a hole on the inside. V'lo yanichim b'chorim asmuchim l'rishus harabim. Don't put it in a hole facing the outside. Because people might take them. If you put it on the outside facing the street while you're inside, people might take them. What was the problem? It might bring you under suspicion. Meaning what? What was the issue here? Maisa b'talmid, how do we illustrate? There was an incident at Talmid. She'niach tfilov b'chorin hasmuchin l'rushus harabi. He put his tfilin in a hole facing the outside, facing the street, and he went to the other side of the fence to go to the bathroom. Ubasa zayna achas, and a harlot passed by. When it talta, she took his tefillin. Ubasa lebeis hamedrash, and she came to the beis hamedrash, the amra, and she said, "Ru'u manosan liplani bischari. Look what so and so gave me as my wage." I don't know what she was trying to do here. Was she trying to advertise? I don't know what she was trying to do. But whatever the case is, this is what she did. This was mortifying for this Talmud. This was before the times when this was acceptable practice. So, what's that? Apparently, you have to remember that tefillin in earlier times were more crude, and they were more distinct. It was more distinct. It was more recognizable. What's that? Maybe it was the only one Bismedrish in the area. I don't know what the reality was. Whatever it is, she knew. Maybe she followed him. Kivan sheshama yisei Talmid kach. When the Talmid heard this, Allah l'roish hagag. It was so humiliating that he couldn't live it down. He went up to the rooftop, v'nofal umes, and he threw himself down and he died. So at that time they were mitaken she'oichzam bevigdoi u'beyodoi v'nichnas. That yes, he should hold it in his garment in his hand, meaning you hold it wrapped it in your hand, wrapped in a garment, in the garment, and you go in like that.
How did the real story come out?
What's that?
If he killed himself, how did the story come out?
What? Don't know. We leave up to each of our respective imaginations. Okay. I don't know. All I know is what the Gemara says. I don't have more background on this story. Presumably yes.
Is okay.
Yeah, meaning the din is that it has to be double wrapped, but the double wrapping has to be something that's not designated for it. So where we're getting into so this is where we get into the question, right? Everything that you put your tefillin bag in is designated. Just what? And we'll discuss this. Just what? You put your tefillin bag into your talis bag. Now, the talis bag is not designated as a tefillin bag per se, right? So we'll see. I'm going to put that off for now because we're really going to get to it. But that's where the room for discussion is. The very tefillin bag with its plastic bag doesn't help. But the question is, if the talis bag, even though it's used regularly for the tefillin, but since it's not really designated for the tefillin, you just keep it there for convenience sake because you want to have it with your talis.
So that only gives you one bag.
No. All the designated bags count as one.
The talis bag
might be number two.
Wait. I thought that the ones that are designated don't count at all.
We're talking about tefillin now.
Yeah.
Right. So the tefillin bag doesn't count.
The bag that is
the original. No, it counts as one. Anything that's designated for it counts as one. Whether it's one bag or 100 bags, it counts as one. And you need another non-designated bag on top of everything designated. That's the way it works. That's why, for example, right, with mezuzahs, that's where it gets, it's a question. Meaning, you have a mezuzah in your bedroom, either you have it outside the door, right? Or, then you have no problem, the door closes it out. Or, you have to have it double wrapped. But here's where it gets tricky, because you have to have it double wrapped in a wrapping that's not designated for it. So what does this mean? That if you're going to be with your wife, do you have to put something over the mezuzah? Interesting question. So the answer is no. The answer is that the mezuzah with its casings are enough. It's always almost always double wrapped, because usually it comes wrapped in a little plastic thing. But when you are double wrapping it for the purpose of double wrapping it, it's an interesting svar. When you're double wrapping it for the purpose of double wrapping it, the place can say that that's okay. If that's your whole purpose in doing it. Okay, we'll get to all this.
Bag and put it in the proper plastic bag because you're going to the washroom.
But the question is, if that's why you usually keep it in the plastic bag.
Oh, I usually do it, that's why I'm doing it right now.
I don't know if that helps. Because again, that's already, once it's designated just for technical purposes, so that's already not called a non-designated item. Well, we'll see. We're going to get to all these things in more detail. We'll see. Okay. So now, So therefore, again, they made this takana that there were problems that developed when people left it outside, and therefore they made a takana that you can actually carry it into the bathroom. Tanur Rabbanu, we have a brisa that says as follows: Barishayna hayu menichin tefillin bechorim asmuchin lebeis hakisei. First, what they did was they used to leave it on the inside of the fence, holes in the inside of the fence. They would go into the field, and they would leave it in a hole in the inside of the fence. Ubayim achbarim menoyt lemoisa. The problem with the inside of the fence was that mice would come and take it. Hitkino shiu menichin moisam b'chaloynes asmuchas ulshesorabim. So therefore they made takana that do it the other way around, put it on the outside of the fence. There weren't mice as frequently in the place where there were people coming and going. The problem is that you had human mice and the people would take them. So therefore they were mitakin that you actually take it in your hand and you go in with it to the bathroom. Again, this was due to necessity. This is certainly not ideal. And therefore this heter is applicable to bathrooms in the field. What's that? No, when you're going to defecate, you're not allowed to wear it. We're talking about taking it off. Yeah. The person takes it off and then holds it in his hand. Omar Rabbi Miyasha Bered Rabbi Shabbat Levi. Miyasha Bered Rabbi Shabbat Levi says, Halacha, the halacha is, Goylilon Kimin Sefer, you roll them up, like a Sefer Torah, meaning roll them up the way we do. La'ichzam Biminoi Keneged Liba, and you hold it in your right hand against your heart, meaning you hold it against your body. Hold it. Why your right hand? And the answer is because you're using your left hand for wiping. That's the halacha. Halacha is you're supposed to wipe with your left hand because the right hand, this is interesting, because for tefillin purposes the right hand is more sanctified. So you're wondering why it goes on the left hand. So it's very interesting. The answer to this is that no, but your right hand puts it on. Since your right hand puts on the tefillin, right? But your right hand did the mitzvah. But your right hand did the mitzvah. You're right. I don't know. But this is what it says. Since your right hand puts the tefillin on, don't wipe with your right hand. Wipe with your left hand. This is halacha l'maaseh, by the way. Keep this in mind. Don't wipe with your right hand. Wipe with your left hand. And the other way around. The other way around. Whichever hand, the hand that you wear your tefillin on. And it gets more specific than that. Which finger do you use? So you don't use your middle finger, which people might naturally do, because that's where the tefillin is wrapped around. Rather, you use one of the other fingers. That's the halacha. So therefore, since you're using your left hand to wipe, you'll hold the tefillin with your right hand. There was one time there was a Russian Tsar. Apparently he was a misfit, a defect. He was a benevolent Russian Tsar. It's almost a contradiction in terms. I think it was Tsar Alexander. There was one benevolent Russian Tsar. And maybe there were more than one, but there was one who was noted. And this was very not acceptable. You know, it was wrong, it was unethical, it was everything evil for a Tsar to like Jews. So the ministers were trying to do everything they could to get him back on track. You know, so one of the things that they did was they showed him Hilchas Beis Hakisei, right? This is a whole set of halachas, all the things we've been describing here, which finger you use to wipe, right? So they showed him the Hilchas Beis Hakisei. See, when you want to see what type of people these are, they showed him the halachas of the base of the bathroom. So he read it and it had exactly the opposite effect. He said, this is a religion that really governs every area of life. That's a real religion. He was so impressed. Had the opposite effect. Okay. Now, Omer Rav Yosef Baman Yoimi, Omer Rav Nachman, Ubilvad Shiloi Teiritzua Yoitzis Mitachas Yodai Tefach. This is important to note. In addition to holding the tefillin in your hand, right, you want to have it as concealed as you can, and you hold it in your hand against yourself. Also, the ritzua, the straps of the tefillin, are not just technical for holding the tefillin in place, the straps of the tefillin also carry kedusha, and therefore do not allow the strap to stick out of tefach either. It should be well wrapped up. Okay. Now, as we said, this is all a kula. This is all leniency, a non-ideal leniency, which was instituted for necessity, since the people were going to the bathroom in the field. So therefore, Amar Rabbi Yaakov Bar Acher, Amar Rabbi Zera, Loishanu Elashiyesh Hus Biyam Lilavshin. All these heterim of bringing it into the bathroom in this circumstance and that circumstance is only if you are indeed going to be putting them back on afterwards. Right? Again, we have to remember, we're dealing with people. The whole perspective here is that they were wearing it all day long. So, if you're going to be putting it back on afterwards, you bring it in with you to the bedroom. But if you are not going to be wearing it again throughout the day. You're taking it off for the last time of the day. Don't bring it into the bathroom. Put it away. Put it in a pouch that has a space of a tefach, and then you put it down. So this is interesting. Why does it have to have a space of a tefach? So Rashi says, because where are you putting your tefillin bag down? Putting it down on the floor. Where do people keep their tefillin bags? They kept it on the floor. So a bag that has a space of a tefach in it is considered its kind of its own little domain, and it's not called that you're putting the tefillin on the floor. Now, Omar and Abba Barbach, we'll address Bezos Hashem, no, not this time, but we'll get to address all this in detail. How does this manifest practically? Can you put a tefillin bag on the floor? Okay, we'll see. Can you put a bag with sfarim in it on the floor? We'll see. Omar Abba Barbach, Omar Rabbi Yechon. Beyoim, goylalon kimin sefer umenichem biyodah keneged libay. He's also summing this up. When you take them off during the day, it's like we said, you wrap it all up and you hold it in your hand against your heart and you go into the bathroom with it. Ubalayla, if it's already nighttime, oisa lahem kimin kis tefach. You make a pouch of a tefach umenichem, and you can put it down. Okay. Fine, we'll stop here for tonight. We will be